Welcome to the April 18th, 2010, 11 o'clock worship service of College Park Baptist Church. Today's message is from the Reverend Raymond Smith and is entitled, Fish for Breakfast. If you are in Winston-Salem, please join us for worship and fellowship at 1701 Polo Road. You can find out more about our church at www.collegeparkbaptist.org. And now for our worship service.
Good morning. Good morning. We welcome you to College Park Baptist Church. We are so pleased that we have had this opportunity to come together for worship. A few announcements that I'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today. The way we do that is our pew pads that we have on the inside aisle of every pew. We invite members and guests alike. If you could sign your name, check the appropriate boxes, give us any contact information you would like. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. We do ask, once it gets to the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started. That will help us collect that information. We do ask, once it gets back to the first person that signed it this morning, if you could tear out the pages that were used, our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. Thank you for helping us with that. Reminder to our children, we are having children's time. That's a time when the children come after the first hymn, and we have a short time together so that after the first hymn, children come on down for children's time. Today at 4 o'clock, our family ministry team is having their meeting. We will be in adult 3 for that. So today at 4 for family ministry team. Let's see. There is a business conference, a regular scheduled church conference this Wednesday night. Also, I've been given an announcement that April is Food Roundup Month for the Baptist Children's Home. You've seen collection points around our church for that. There are boxes in Smith Hall for food items, paper products, cleaning supplies, and hygiene items. Gift cards for Walmart, Sam's Club, Lowe's, or Food Lion are also greatly appreciated. You can give the gift cards to Gail Holland in the office, and we try to collect all items should be in by April the 25th, which is next Sunday. So appreciate all the work that's going on for that. We have a special announcement from our RAs and GAs. Reese, come on up here.
My name is Reese Alexander. I am a GA, and on Wednesdays, the RAs and GAs are learning how to serve others through missions. At the Spring Fling on May 2nd, we will be selling spring crafts that we have made. All money raised we raise will be given to the youth group for their summer missions trip. The youth have done so much to help the younger kids understand God's love. They have led children's church, helped with primary basketball, helped with Vacation Bible School, and so much more. We want to tell them how much we appreciate them. Please come to the Spring Fling on May 2nd and help us support the youth of our church.
Thank you, Reese. Could not have said it better myself. Great job, Reese. That is an overwhelming gesture by the children of our church. They have been working hard to provide a way to raise some money for our youth who are heading to New York City. We are headed to New York this summer. One of the ways that we're doing that, raising funds for that, is we are having our barbecue dinner. In 2 weeks from today, you started seeing tickets being sold. We are very excited about this. This is homemade barbecue, made by our own people. Right, Andrew? Okay. Andrew and several of his cohorts are working hard to make this barbecue dinner something very special. We have our Spring Fling, which is our annual spring event. We bring in some fun games for people of all ages, and we usually provide a meal. Well, this year the meal will be the barbecue dinner. Tickets are available. All the money goes straight to youth missions. We are headed there in July this year, working with a ministry called Street Life Ministries there in Queens. And we're very, very excited about what's going to happen. And so barbecue dinner, May the 2nd, will start serving at 5 o'clock. We need desserts. There's a dessert sign-up sheet that you will see at the welcome desk. We need help providing those homemade desserts. That's a big selling feature when we say homemade desserts. So we need those homemade desserts. There's a place to sign up for that. It's great barbecue. This is the third year that we have done this, and it's going to be the very best. So we appreciate you getting the word out. Tell your friends, tell your neighbors. They're going to have to eat on Sunday night, May the 2nd, and they might as well come to College Park. And so we want you to help us get that word out, and we appreciate you doing that. Let me see. I think that is all the announcements. Anything else? Yes. Next, we've made a change in our exam pack run. Next Sunday, we're going to collect. We take every exam time in the fall and in the spring. We go visit our college students around the state of North Carolina, and then we ship out exam packs to those outside of the state. We collect, our people give us homemade goods, store-bought goods, individually wrapped. We are going to be collecting those next Sunday. April 25th is the exam pack collection day. Our youth will help put them together that night. And then the next week, we've got some adults who are going to spread throughout the state and pass those out. So exam packs, next Sunday, if you could bring any items individually wrapped, that would be very helpful. Okay. Anything else? Hey, Mary. All right. So we're excited about worship this morning. And we're very excited that Neil Holiday is here. Mary is out. She is enjoying a time with family, and Neil is here, and we're excited about his worship leadership today. It is an exciting day to be together because God has given us this day. And guests, we're especially thankful for your presence this morning. Ushers are coming down the aisles now. You gave us some information just a few moments ago on the pew pad. Our ushers are coming. They'd like to give something to you. So if you're a guest this morning, just raise your hand right where you are. The ushers will come back down the aisles, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside the packet, you will find a letter from our pastor, as well as a little bit of the story of College Park and a newsletter that tells you what's going on in the life of our church. So we are very blessed by your presence this morning, and we pray God would show up in a mighty way in your life during this hour of worship. Let us prepare for what God wants to do in us and through us this morning. Pray with me. Our gracious Father, sometimes we say that so easily and so quickly that we don't realize the grace that you have provided in our lives. Blessing us with the gift of life, the gift of this day. Thank you for this opportunity that you have given to us to enter into this sanctuary as the body of Christ to worship you. It is our prayer that you come enter into this place. We invite you to be in this service, to speak to us, to hear us as we worship, to see us as we pray. This is your time. May you do with it whatever you will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This for right here. For what? Fishing. Can everybody get under there? Okay. All right. You guys sit still, Caleb. Oh, fish flail around, but okay. That y'all are good. Matthew, what are you doing? You're the fish that got out of the net. Get up here. All right. Come on. Let Matthew get it. Now, what is this good for? Now I need everybody to listen. What's this good for? Fishing. Not for people, all right? That wasn't on the instruction sheet, all right? What happens when people throw this out? Well, okay, let me get it. You're messing your hairs up, and I don't want mommy's mad at me. Okay, give me back. Give it to me. Oh. Bryce, there you go. So fishermen take this, and they throw it out their boat, right? And what happens? The fish get caught, and then they pull this back in, right? And you have fish. And then do you eat them? Why?
Because they're raw.
Oh, they're raw. You don't eat raw fish? Okay. All right. But what happens if you throw this out there and no fish come back? You do it again. But there was a time in the Bible when Pastor Raymond's going to talk about this in a few minutes, where the disciples, they were out fishing, and they had fished all night. They threw this thing out and they kept pulling it back in, and no fish. And they threw it out, sell somewhere else. You think they went somewhere else? Do you think they tried to go somewhere else? Well, then they had been fishing for so long, and then they saw this person. They weren't quite sure who it was on the shore. And the person said, "Hey, throw it out on the right side of the boat." Now, if you've been fishing for a long time and you heard somebody say, "Don't you know what you're doing? Throw it on the right side of the boat." Would you be like, "We've been doing that all night, right? What does he know?" Well, you know what happened? They threw it on the right side of the boat and they pulled it in, and there were so many fish. 150. Who's been teaching you? 153. Way to go, Miss Leanne. 153. That is a lot of fish. And it should have broken the nets, but did it? No. And they realized it was Jesus that said, "Throw it on the right side of the boat." You know, sometimes we try to do things on our own, don't we? Sometimes we don't need anybody's help. But you know what? Jesus wants you and me to listen to what he wants to say. The disciples, they've been trying to do it on their own all night long. One time, Jesus said, "Throw it on the right side of the boat." And Jesus made all these fish come into the net. And you know, it makes me think? We can't do what we're supposed to do by ourselves. We need God's help. But you need God's help, don't you? Every day you need God's help. You need, because sometimes it's not so easy to love people, is it? Some people are mean to us. We need God's help to do what's right. Okay? Sometimes it's hard to know the right thing to do. But when we pray, when we ask moms and dads and our Sunday school teachers, Jesus can talk through them and help us know what to do. So can you guys help me next time when you're struggling, trying to figure out what to do? What should we do? We can pray. We can ask our parents. We can ask our Sunday school teachers. And most importantly, we want to ask God. Can you help us do that? And just like the disciples who kept throwing their nets in, when Jesus told them where to do it and how to do it, all these fish. God will take care of you just like that. Okay? Can you pray with me? God, we love you and we thank you so much that sometimes we try to do things on our own. But God, you remind us in this story that when we listen to Jesus, he knows the way we should live, the way we should do things, the way we should treat one another. Help us, just like the disciples, to listen to Jesus and not to do it on their own. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can go back to your seats now.
You're going to have to wait a few more minutes to hear the story of 153 from John's Gospel. But our scripture text this morning and our reading from the Revised Common Lectionary includes two readings. First, from the Old Testament in the book of Psalms. I'll be reading Psalm 30, a psalm of David. And if you don't have your Bible with you, there should be a pew Bible located nearby. Feel free to read along with me. This is Psalm 30. "I will exalt you, O Lord, for you lifted me out of the depths and did not let my enemies gloat over me. O Lord my God, I called to you for help, and you healed me. O Lord, you brought me up from the grave. You spared me from going down into the pit. Sing to the Lord, you saints of his. Praise his holy name. For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor lasts a lifetime. Weeping may remain for a night, but rejoicing comes in the morning. When I felt secure, I said, I will never be shaken. O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm. But when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called. To the Lord, I cried for mercy. What gain is there in my destruction, in my going down into the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it proclaim your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my help. You turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. And from the New Testament in the book of Revelation, from Revelation chapter 5, beginning in verse 11. Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders. In a loud voice they sang, Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. Then I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth and on the sea and all that is in them singing, To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be praise and honor and glory and power forever and ever. The four living creatures said, Amen. And the elders fell down and worshiped. May God bless the reading and the understanding of his holy word.
Oh,
Will you join me in prayer? Dear Lord, that beautiful song says it all. For the beauty of this earth that you created, we thank you and we praise you. Lord, for what this season of spring means to us and what it does to us, we appreciate so much, Lord. It's a reminder of the power of your creation and hope that springs eternal. Thank you for the energy that you give to us, the optimism, the passion that arises in us during this great season of the year when the weather's warming up, the flowers are blooming. Our eyes just seem to be a little more attuned to what's going on around us in your creation. And it's just such a powerful reminder, Lord, of all the things that you've done in our world and in our lives. Lord, help us to remember that the promise of Easter did not end 2 weeks ago, but that it is a daily promise that we need to grasp every day. It wasn't something that just happened one time or one day to be accepted and cashed in once by us, but it's something that you have promised us every day. Grace freely given, redemption always available, so that the mistake of yesterday or the failure of yesterday or the pain or hurt or omission yesterday does not have to mean something today, because we can come to you, bring it before you, give it to you, and be cleansed. Our report card of sins can be turned into you and completely wiped away today. Lord, that is the kind of grace and mercy and love that means the world to us. Lord, help us not to carry the baggage of what we did yesterday or 2 weeks ago or 2 years ago. Help us to believe in you enough and trust in you enough to turn it over to you, to give you what we're carrying, to give you what is weighing so heavily on our mind, and let you take care of it. Lord, thank you for loving us enough to make that promise to us, a promise that we do not deserve. We have done absolutely nothing to deserve that kind of redemption and that kind of love and grace and mercy. But you continue to give it to us every single day through the promise and sacrifice of your Son. And that is something to live for. That is something to provide hope, even when the sun is not shining in our lives and that we're facing something difficult. And Lord, we are facing difficult things, and you know that more than we do. We're facing physical strain, mental strain, stress, difficult relationships and difficult family situations. We're facing hurt. We're facing economic struggle. There's so many things, and you know our hearts and minds. You know what we're facing. But absolutely none of those things can come anywhere close to comparing with how big and powerful and graceful and merciful you are. Lord, help us this week, today, tomorrow, and this week, to accept that promise anew, to turn our burdens and our struggles and our sins and our stresses over to you. Lord, please lift them from us so that we may see a little more clearly. Our relationship with you may be a little bit more strong, that we may be able to just see and feel and understand the hope and the promise and the energy and the love that you have for us and that you want us to be able to experience in your name. Lord, thank you for each person here. Thank you for the way that you love us every single day of our lives. Thank you for all that you mean to us. Lord, help us to be strong enough this week to make our lives about you and to give who we are to you and to serve you in any way that we can. It is in your Son's name that we pray and praise you. Amen.
you pray with me, please? Our loving Father, our comforter, our healer, our landscaper and designer of this beautiful world, we come to you today, Father, carrying many burdens and concerns and fears. We ask you, Father, that you would encourage us to lay those at your feet and to carry that load for us, and that during this time, you would open our minds and our hearts, illumine us to what we need to hear from you, that this time we can bring our hymns of praise and joy, and that this hour be totally about you, Lord. We bring our tithes and offerings to you, Lord, to ask that you would bless them to use to your purpose and for your glory. For we ask it in your name. Amen.
the day when my faith shall be sight. The clouds be rolled back as a scroll. The trump shall resound and the Lord shall descend. Even so, it is well with my soul.
Some of you may have seen Jeff leave a few minutes ago. The youth got really excited, thought a call from Jennifer had come. But that was not the case. Actually, he was running an errand for me. I asked him to go find me another sermon because between him and Miss Leanne, I've got nothing left this morning. Thanks for not saying amen there, Roger. Appreciate it. Oh, man. Anyway, we are going to read the whole story. As we've told part of it here, and the children have talked about it some, we're going to read the whole story, and it comes from John chapter 21, and we'll be reading verses 1 through 19. If you have a pew Bible there, if you didn't bring your own, there should be one there in front of you, and you can follow along with us. I'll be reading from the New International Version, which is the version of our pew Bibles, so I invite you to read with me. Beginning in verse 1, afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. And then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it is the Lord, he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish that you've just caught. And Simon Peter climbed aboard and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him, who are you? They knew it was the Lord. And Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And when they finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. And again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. And Jesus said, take care of my sheep. The third time he said, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. I tell you the truth. When you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you to where you do not want to go." And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." 2 weeks ago, we heard the very dramatic story of Easter Sunday morning. It was filled with drama. And then last week, we heard about the encounter that the disciples had with the resurrected Lord. And it was very inspiring. That was the name of the sermon, and that truly is what took place. It was an inspiring time for them. And so by comparison, this week just kind of seems like a fishing story. You know, we had kind of the pinnacle of the Christian calendar, and then last week it was very inspiring, and this week we got a fishing story. But stay with us. I think there's some things for us to learn from this text this morning. As it begins, they're gathered there, and we know that it was Peter, it was Thomas, it was Nathaniel, it was brothers James and John, and then there were two other disciples that weren't even named by the narrative, which, you know, feel sorry for those guys. I mean, they didn't even make the short list there. Got no box score, you know, and two other guys, and they were all gathered there. We know that they were no longer in Jerusalem. They were near the beautiful freshwater lake called Tiberias, sometimes referred to as Sea of Galilee, which is about a two-day walk north of Jerusalem. So you can picture that in your mind. Think about how far you could walk in a day, the average adult, and that's how far north they were from the capital city where so much had happened. Perhaps they needed to get away. It had been a stressful month, to say the least. And perhaps they just needed to get away from that. Maybe they wanted to do something relaxing while they tried to process all that, make sense of all that they had seen and heard and experienced. But whatever the circumstances were, Peter finally pops up and says, "I'm going fishing." Now, you can imagine the response of the other six. They were probably just excited to get back to something they could comprehend, like boats and nets and fish, and forget about crowds and chaos and crucifixion. And so their response is immediately, "We're in. Take us with you. We're going with you. Let's go fishing." So off they go on a fishing trip. Now, as is often the case with these fishing adventures or adventures in life, whether it be fishing or whatever, sometimes what seems like a great idea at the time, the excitement kind of wanes a little bit. As Jeff made reference, the disciples had, I mean, they had been there and they'd been casting their net. Shoulders are getting tired. Mentally, they're probably getting a little frustrated, a little aggravated. They had been at this all night. They had been at it all night. And probably most of them were asleep by the time they hear from the shore a voice. They didn't know it was Jesus. A voice calls out to them, loose translation, "Any luck?" That's a common fishing phrase. You know, people, if you pass people that are fishing, that's kind of what they exchange. "Well, you know, are they biting? Any luck? Good luck today, blah, blah, blah." So, you know, that was natural enough. They probably thought, well, somebody just wishing us well here, but they probably weren't in the mood to be wished particularly well. They had been at this all night, and nothing. No, we didn't. Probably didn't get a whole lot of response. No, it's no fish. And then this person on the shore says, "Try the other side of the boat. Try the right-hand side of the boat." And again, put yourself in their position. I mean, they have been on the water for hours. They're tired. They are hungry. They're sore. They're stiff. And they've caught nothing. And then some guy on the beach, that's all they knew about him, some guy on the beach says, "Hey, why don't you put your net on the right-hand side of the boat?" And they're thinking, "Yeah, right, like we haven't done that. Yeah, that'd be great. I'm sure that'll work dandy." Fishermen probably don't think in those terms. That's probably wasn't the exact translation. But I'm sure at that point they're thinking, "Oh, great, you know, another expert." But they did it. Why? I'm not sure. It doesn't tell us why they did it. They probably didn't even know why they did it. But the results, as we already had testimony to, how many fish? You listened well. 153 fish. The results were, of their obedience were, results. The net was full of fish. Now, John is the first one that gets it. A lot of people think Peter got it first. But John is actually the one that got it first. He understood. He put the dots together and he went, it's our Lord. And he told that to Peter. And Peter, doing what Peter does, acts impulsively, puts his outer garment, boom, hits the water. He's swimming to shore. Now, there will always be people in your life that are like John, right? They recognize the presence of the Lord. And they work quietly in the presence of the Lord, doing the Lord's will. Perhaps that's you. And if that is you, I want to bless you. I want to affirm you in your gifts and your place in the kingdom. And I know if you're that type of personality, you probably sometimes get a little bit agitated with the personalities of Peter, who the first sign of activity, boom, they act impulsively. They're the kinds that move or shake, blah, 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 blah. And they're always a little bit loud. They're always a little bit aggressive. They're always a little bit impulsive. And they don't mean to steal the show. They just are constantly kind of making a show, right? But the kingdom needs both. The kingdom needs John and the kingdom needs Peter. The kingdom is made up of both. It's interesting to note how their destinies worked out, how they played out in, at least in the temporary, because John was given charge of Jesus' mother. Remember that at the cross? Jesus looks down from the cross and says, John, behold your mother. Right? So he's given that task to follow through with his commission. Peter died as is alluded to in the last couple of verses, died a very public death, much like his Lord had experienced. Different personalities, different people. The kingdom needs all of us. So that aside, let's get back to our story. Peter had jumped into the water, and he swam to shore. And the other guys came in, pulling the fish-laden net behind them, and Jesus is reunited with these seven friends. Now, I wonder how much quicker Peter actually got to shore. Have you thought about that? How far out were they? Do you remember? 100 yards, which is roughly equivalent to what? Football field. Now we're talking terms. Spring games yesterday, your mind is on football. So a football field away, Peter swims in. These guys are rowing in. How much quicker do you really think he got there? Of course, they were having to drag the net. Thanks for your help with that, Peter. Yeah. They were having to drag the net, so I don't know what the time difference was, but Scripture tells us they were reunited there on the shore. And the rest of the story, though, includes really no description of the men's great joy in the reunion. I mean, I kind of expected that, didn't you? But it's not there. What we see is this understated story of a huge quantity of fish. That was a large number for the net of that size. It was a large number. And there was an invitation to breakfast. There's fish and bread. Does that sound roughly familiar? Five loaves, two fish. Fish and bread for breakfast. And Jesus asks as the host for giving the meal. He acts as the host for that. There's another interesting aside here that caught my eye. A couple of weeks ago when I was reading through, I've never read this in the commentary, which struck me as odd because usually they kind of examine pretty much every verse and kind of pick it apart. But as I was reading verse 9, it just kind of caught me right between the eyes that as they came onto shore, there was a fire, right? What was on the fire? There was already fish on the fire. But Jesus invited them to add some of what they had caught to the fire. And you go, Raymond, what does all that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it means for me. Jesus can fish. He doesn't need our help fishing. He can do it. But he gives us the privilege and the joy of learning how to fish with his instruction from the shore or from our side. He gives us the joy of learning how to fish, and then he gives us the privilege of adding to the catch, adding what we have caught to what his work is already doing. That is an amazing concept. He wants us to join him at work, which is an awesome privilege for us. Well, where does the story go from here? There's actually kind of, again, understated. John records in verse 12, none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" Because they knew it was the Lord. Now, isn't that interesting? They didn't say a whole lot. But we talked last week about how he had breathed new life into them. They were inspired. But yet, when they encounter their Lord again, they're very subdued. This is a story that really contains a lot of mystery, at least in my mind. There's a lot of mystery here, and there's a lot of simplicity, really enough to kind of catch our attention and make us want to dig a little bit further, see what else is going on. There's mystery in the presence of the risen Christ appearing to his friends from the shore unrecognized. The mystery deepens when his suggestion that they take their nets and put it on the other side of the boat, and then the huge success of that. And the mystery is honored when his friends finally realize it's the Lord. But they remain silent, evidently so stunned by his presence that they're hardly able to speak. Or they don't know what to say. Or maybe they're just so exhausted they can't speak. But his holy presence evokes a reverence that expresses itself in very muted tones around the campfire. Their awe is subdued. Their awe is perhaps weary, but it's worshipful nonetheless. The mystery is palpable, but the story is quite simple. It's a very simple story. It's a meeting with their crucified Lord, the risen Christ, but he appears as another fisherman offering good advice for a fine catch, and they recognize him, and they have breakfast together. A very simple storyline. The crucified Messiah, though, I mean, shouldn't it be a lot more drama? Shouldn't it be a lot more drama? I mean, here is the divine human encounter. Again, the crucified Messiah had been placed in a tomb. Some had seen the empty tomb. He had appeared to them before, at least on a couple of different times, to offer them comfort, to alleviate their fears. They haven't seen him since, but yet they're still unsettled. It's interesting. Shouldn't the reunion be more glorious? Think about the dialogue, the actual dialogue that we have in this encounter. Let's go fishing. Okay. Any luck? No. Try the other side. Bring some fish. Let's have breakfast. That's pretty much it up to this point. But then we arrive at, I guess you could say, some drama. Peter and Jesus have an encounter that we alluded to last week, where Jesus, Scripture tells us, it breaks Peter's heart that Jesus asked him three times, "Do you love me?" And as we talked about last week, the number three is a number designating completeness or wholeness or totality. And so in Peter's denial of Jesus at the fireside, three times, it was complete denial. And so now by the fireside, Jesus gives him an opportunity to confess him as Lord, to confess his love for him three times. Complete forgiveness, complete and total restoration. So the story is the perfect antidote for those who seek signs of God only in church, only in the religious, or only in what is spiritual, dramatic, or glorious. Because so much of the surprise revealed in Jesus is how God comes to us in that which is common, which is ordinary that we would think. You know, for years we've used the words up and down. You know, we talk about God being up there, right? Where's heaven? Well, it's up. Not sure where, but it's got to be up. You know, God is up there, we're down here. And I really would like to be up there, but I'm stuck down here, right? And sometimes we think we've got to reach up to get to God. And while the whole up and down terminology may be a little bit passe, in that terminology, the message of the gospel is we can't reach up. So therefore, God came down. God came down. You know, we think it's not good to be down, but God came down to where we live. We don't have to climb up. Jesus revealed that God has come to earth to where we live. And God meets us, hear this, in that which is common and down to earth. Maybe even at a cookout by the sea. So look for God's presence in the common. Look for God's presence in the ordinary. Jesus came to earth not in the form of royalty as royalty was thought of. He came as a baby. He lived with simple people. He touched those who were sick. He healed those who needed his touch. And the church celebrates Jesus' presence in baptism waters. We celebrate his presence in the bread and the juice of communion. Simple things like a bath and a meal. He told us to become like a child in matters of faith. Simple things. He's present when two or three are gathered. Simple things. We're judged on the basis of how we treat the least of these. He spoke in the daily jargon of fishermen and farmers, not in the refined vocabulary of scholars. So where should we look for God's presence? I don't know, maybe at school, in our work, in our neighborhoods, in our family, our friends, even in our enemies. How about in the things of this earth, the beauty of creation? For the beauty of the earth. How about in relationships? So why do we keep looking up for God? Because Jesus revealed God in a net full of fish, a breakfast on the beach, and maybe we don't need to be surprised because it's God's nature to come down to us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for the privilege of being used by you, of being allowed to join in your work to add fish to the fire. Father, we pray that as imperfect human beings, we would recognize who you are and who you've created us to be. Father, like Peter, we love you and we profess that we love you, but sometimes our actions and even perhaps our words deny you. Forgive us when we go there. Restore us. Bring us back to center with you. Father, we pray that as we are changed by our relationship with you, that others will see that change. And in turn, they'll want to be a part of what we experience daily as we walk with you. Father, help us not to be surprised when we see you in the ordinary. Father, help us to be amazed continually at how you are at work all around us. Help us to be excited about joining in that work. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Jesus that we've talked about, the risen Savior, we want to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with Christ. And so this morning, when we sing in just a moment, I'll be here at the front. I'll be glad to share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. It would be a privilege and a joy for me to share that with you. If you don't want to do that this morning, that's okay. Just call me this week, and we'll have an opportunity to share and talk together. If you're here this morning, you say, Raymond, I'm a believer, but man, I'm kind of like Peter in some ways. You know, sometimes I deny Christ and other times I affirm him, and I want to get more on the page where I'm constantly affirming and being obedient. This is an opportunity for you this morning. The altar will be open here. You're certainly welcome to come and pray, or you can do that where you are. But do business with God. Be honest. Listen to his voice and respond to him. If you're here this morning and you'd like to be a part of this fellowship, it's a good group of believers. There's many ways we receive members, and I'll be glad to share that with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. you remain standing for our benediction? Dear Father, we thank you for the beauty of this day, the beauty of the fellowship that we've enjoyed. Father, we pray as we go from this place that we've been changed. And we pray that that would be evident to all who we come encounter with. Father, we thank you for the blessings of today, the gift of life that you've given us. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
This concludes this week's podcast of our worship service. Thank you for joining us. We would love to hear from our listeners. Please send our pastor an email at raymond@collegeparkbaptist.org. That's raymon@collegeparkbaptist.org. Or call us at 1-336-768-5870. May the peace of the Lord be with you in the coming week.